Next is an excerpt from Questions and Answers, recorded on June 9th, 2000, in Wicklow, Ireland.
How can I understand that worshipping Vrindavan Krishna is not sectarian? I shouldn't spend so much time on each question, so I can start reading some of the others. This is a legitimate question, certainly from the worldly point of view, because I even heard Prabhupada saying that he was looking up in some reference book and that he saw Hinduism is the smallest of the great religions of the world. Christianity, and among Christianity, the Roman Catholic is the biggest sect, and there are so many Protestant sects, but Christianity is very big. And Islam, or say Buddhism, is a certain size. And Islam is huge and growing. But Hinduism is smaller than all of those. So I remember a devotee putting that question to me when she was considering becoming a devotee. It was a real stumbling block in her mind. She said, how can I believe that of all the billions of people in the world, that the best thing is to become a devotee of Krishna, and that they're not doing the right thing, or the best thing. How can I accept that Krishna is God? So it's certainly a legitimate question to think that if you're worshiping Krishna, the Hindu god, that that's a sectarian thing. But from the viewpoint of being a Krishna bhakta, well, we don't look at it that way. Imagine if we grew up in India, especially in the area of Uttar Pradesh, or where there are all Krishna bhaktas, we wouldn't think it was sectarian. We wouldn't even know perhaps what the word sectarian is. We would just know Krishna, Bhagavan, God, not think of such things. So that might be fortunate if we can be born that way. But by Prabhupada's grace, Lord Chaitanya's grace, Krishna has come out of India, and now Krishna consciousness is present all over the world. I remember my own conversion from atheism to attempting Krishna consciousness was done by Prabhupada. And I remember sitting with him and other devotees one afternoon in his room, and he was allowing that there are different forms of God, and as he was talking, but he said that Krishna was the best for different reasons. And bit by bit it was getting through to me. And then at one point, I had a little light dawned in my head. And I said to him, to Swamiji, I said, like it was my conclusion, although he was teaching it, I said, oh, I know. Krishna is the most relishable form of God. There are many forms of God, but the distinction of Krishna is the most relishable. That's a word that he would use. And he said, yes. So that's one way to understand it. Also, we understand that Krishna is the original form of God. But that's another way to consider it. But to consider the most relishable, that in itself is... why not take the form of God that is the most attractive of all the forms? I think in answering this question, it's kind of like it's each person's question. It's not that one person can prove it for everybody else. But the people who become Krishna bhaktas, they decide, the example of Christ is wonderful, the example of Buddha is wonderful, but I really like Krishna, Krishna of Vrindavan. He's most attractive. His name even means most attractive, and the things that he does, how he plays, and with the gopis and the cowherd boys, he really seems like he's God, more than any other understanding of God that I have. You just want to become a Krishna Bhakta. So this question here, how can I understand that worshipping Vrindavan Krishna is not sectarian? It's something that you feel, that you get convinced of, or that you understand. By contact with the Krishna Bhakta or some contact with Krishna. What do you think?
I was kind of angling it from a worldly person's point of view.
Yeah.
Kind of like skeptical, intellectual, and it's...
Well, it's a hard one to answer from that point of view. Because, like I said, the Krishna Bhaktas are outnumbered in this material world. Another thing is that in the spiritual world, there are more Krishna Bhaktas. This is just the world of misunderstanding. I just heard Prabhupada in a lecture, he was saying, some people say that Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu, but no. And he quoted Brahma Samhita, how Vishnus are an expansion of Krishna. But it's hard to understand Krishna, even we say India, but even in India, Krishna is mostly not understood as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mayavadis are there, or the Vaishnavas think that Vishnu is original and Krishna is one of the incarnations. But we're very fortunate that we hear it from Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada in the disciplic succession. Anyone want to comment on that? Yes.
No, I just remember when before I got first initiation from you, that was you gave me three questions, and that was one of them. Why do you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And I remember my head was smoking that time, trying to because I really had to look into myself, and I wasn't, you know, well versed at all in the scriptures or whatever. And then I remember I just. Brought you this answer that, well, really, why do I accept Krishna? It's because Srila Prabhupada says so, and I have faith in Srila Prabhupada.
Hmm.
And then you wrote me back afterwards. I felt kind of scared that did I pass the test?
Hmm.
But you said that it was very nice that you have faith in Srila Prabhupada, and this is the beginning, and from this everything can come, and then you kind of guided me, but... As you learn a little bit more scriptures, you can also understand from the Vedic literature how Krishna is God.
Mm.
And that really inspired me to then try to learn that from that point of view.
And in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, there's that sentence that one should accept, at least theoretically, that Krishna is God as he begins his study of the Bhagavad Gita. Let me keep going. What time is our afternoon meeting scheduled? 2:30. What time do you have to be back?
No rush.
Okay. Oh, Bhakti Ras, so many questions. Which is the best one, you think? This is yours?
Yeah. Either the first or the last.
Okay. When is it appropriate to speak out about injustice or wrongs? Or matters that I do not feel, think are right, And when is it appropriate to just let it roll over me like water off a duck's back? I refer to my service and situation in communications at the manor. I often hear about things being said or policies implemented, like banning people from the temple because of misdemeanors or philosophical deviations, which I do not agree with. Up until now, I generally keep out of heated debates, politics, etc., and thereby might maintain relatively good relationships with everyone. I find this conducive to my own spiritual practices because I don't get embroiled in conflicts which would disturb me. However, sometimes I think I'm just lily-livered and too attached to not rocking the boat and getting embroiled in negative nastiness, of which I may end up being the object. Bad English, but basically not wanting people to dislike me. So how do I judge when it is good to stand up for what I think truth or justice or Krishna consciousness is, and when is it better to keep quiet and let Krishna's hand work in other ways? Also, I feel, who am I to talk anyway? I'm not much of a devotee myself, so what do I want to start mouthing off at other people's expenses? This also encourages me to be silent and just try to work on myself. I think this depends on a person's mission or a particular kind of person that one is, as to how you would do this. I remember a few years ago I was really interested in the writings and the life of Kierkegaard. And although he was a Christian, he got involved in a real crusade against the complacency of Christianity in his country, Denmark. And then he took on some real powers that be, and mostly just in writing, but they retaliated in different ways. And he died while in the midst of this crusade for the reformation of the state religion. But he was very much intellectually, but also ready to put his body on the line and for the cause that he was fighting for, a crusader or a reformer. And I saw that I myself am not that kind of a person, that I'm trying to rally the public to act in a certain way, and that I make writings with that in mind. There are some devotees in ISKCON who do write that way, and I'm not saying that I'm better than them, but you have to see what your mission is and what you want to do. So I have a particular thing I'm trying to accomplish and a particular way I go about accomplishing it. That's one important answer for this question. Certainly, you know, somebody's got to speak up when abuses are going on. Somehow when I started reading this, I thought something you were going to bring up something else. But there are situations where people are abused and nobody takes up their cause, and it goes on until somebody investigates it and speaks out and says that this can't be tolerated, and then everyone starts getting into action and taking some responsibility for it, because of the person who's willing to speak the truth and rock the boat. So that may be their mission in life. If you decide to rock the boat, you have to be ready to get that kind of reaction from others. It's a little hard to continue answering this question without be more specific about it. You say it's more appropriate to the group here. I don't know that it is so much.
Mm. But more than my other question.
What?
More appropriate than my other question. That's question two.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, it's a good question, but I would have to, you know, talk more with you about it, I guess. What the specifics are, and how people are being banned, and what you would do about it, and so on and so forth, and what your life would become after you did like that. For myself. In the stage I'm at now in my life and so on and so forth and what I'm trying to achieve, I hold the peacefulness at a high level, something that I really want. But somebody else may say for themselves that they can't afford to make peacefulness such a high priority in their life, especially if it means compromising on the truth. I think, however, that I'm working at an angle in my writing whereby I'm doing what I can to help everybody. What did you say? Did you have another question?
No, it's not
further. Oh. What did you say? One?
Either the first or the last.
Yesterday you spoke about the importance of staying close to and within the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Can you tell us further about the essential elements of staying close to our Guru? Well, with Prabhupada, you should regularly read his books. And know what his teachings are and try to follow him. I was making the point that Prabhupada is leading us all the way to Krishna in Vrindavan. But he never does it in a way that is cheap. And this is a particular characteristic of Prabhupada that you'll pick up from his talks and presentations. And I think we can understand this more and more as we keep hearing from him or reading his books.